chapter 12, verses 13 to 17. Okay, let me read for you since it's just a few verses. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spilled out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's command and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. May God bless the reading of his word and the preaching of it too. Please be seated. The last time we looked at Revelation chapter 12, I mentioned that, you know, at the end of the seals, then the what? Oh man, I'm getting old. But remember, this is the second interlude. Okay, the second interlude where there's a pause. And then the pause before the trumpets begins to be sounded, the seven trumpets begins to sound, this chunk of scriptures that talks about how Satan responds to the attack or the setting up of Christ's kingdom, or Christ is taking back what is his at this time and how he responds to it. And this is where we are looking at it now. And last time, we look the scriptures from the perspective also of the aspect of evangelism from the theme of the church, one family under God. And today we continue so, but looking at it more in the emphasis or the urgency of Christ's second coming. Especially when, with God's help, we can go with him in the times when there is trouble. In other words, in turbulent times, how can we stay faithful to the cause of preaching the gospel to those who need it? You know that before there were boundary lines that separate the country of Laos and Vietnam, they came up with an agreement how they could tax people that are living on the border of these two countries. And so they came up with this idea, okay? That is, those who ate short grain rice, built houses on steel, and decorated them with Indian-style serpents were considered people from Laos, okay? And those who ate long grain rice, built houses on the ground, and decorated them with Chinese dragon were considered Vietnamese. You know, when I read this story, it's interesting in a sense. I say, then, you know, in the same way, how do we differentiate true believers from professing ones? By how they live their lives. Especially in turbulent times, as seen here in chapter 12. And these turbulent times were caused by Satan, who began his assault of God first in heaven and then coming down to the earth after he was kicked out. He continued to attack God and his people, with Israel first and then now together the church as well. And here you see his attack. Twice it was against Israel, and then there was once, the last part talks about the church, or at least people who follow after God. And so how do they handle it, or how did they were able to live their faith out as well as continue to preach the gospel in such turbulent times. And so we start here with verse 13, 14, as we think of today's passage. It is with God's help. As Josh alluded to, you know, we cannot do what we hope we can do because we are weak. And so we need God's help. And if you notice my outline, I have some words to that, and thanks to Al, he says that, you know, don't give a blank page. Say something there so that people know what's your idea of each point. And so that is to help you, okay? And I hope to be faithful in keeping that as well. You know, the reason I told him I don't put much thing there is because I want you to listen and not write. Because when you write, you sometimes you miss what the speaker is speaking. Okay. But anyway, it's for your benefit, for those of you who can multitask. You know, we read here that after his defeat by the archangel Michael, Satan was hurled to the earth. And so he was enraged and revengeful. And so he decided that he will pursue the woman who had given birth to the male child. And this is basically to disrupt, destroy the plan of God on this earth. And in Greek, the word pursue is to hunt, like an animal hunting down its prey. And so Satan is hunting down God's people to hurt them, to destroy them, to cause them to sin against God. And this woman and a child represented Israel. Okay, and remember I mentioned last time was Genesis 3, where God's promise was the child, the seed of the woman, will be the one who come and destroy Satan's work. And so this is crucial for him that he wants to attack this woman and the child. And yet at the same time, not just them, but the whole nation of Israel, God's chosen people. And then God's help came, as we read in this passage, and we see in history, towards his people, the nation of Israel, indirectly and directly. Okay. And so first, directly, indirectly, God used other people outside of the Jews, the nation of Israel, to help them and protect them. And we see this in the Old Testament, right? We see he uses the Gentiles who demonstrated faith and risked their lives to help the Jews. And one of the best examples is Rahab, right? Rahab protected those spies when they were coming into Jericho to spy out the land, whether they can conquer this city. And then he also intervenes and helps the people directly through miraculous works and events. And we see this also in the Old Testament, where he fed them with manna and quail from the sky. He parted the Red Sea for them to cross when they were being hunted down by the Egyptian soldiers. And then in Revelation 13, you'll find that God also fed them in a very miraculous way. And so God is helping and behind helping directly and indirectly his people. And here we read that John saw this woman was given two wings of a great eagle. Okay, and the imagery of that of the eagle wings was able to help her to escape to the wilderness, to hide there from being hunted down by Satan. And we read that she will be taken care of for a time, times and a half time, out of the serpent's reach. And that's good news, right? When you are in turbulent times, Satan cannot touch you because God is helping you. And the figurative language here symbolizes Israel's escape from Satan's constant attack of them. And wings are a symbol of strength. You read it in Isaiah 40:31, and also speed in the Psalms. And it is commonly used to symbolize protection. In Deuteronomy, in the Psalms. And this word eagle can also be translated as vulture. In Matthew, Luke, they are it can be translated also, or it has been translated as vulture. And they are large birds with an enormous wingspan to symbolize the length of God's protection. You know, I always have this picture in my mind when I think of God's protection. It's just like God, you know, so big that He actually can wrap His arms around the earth, the globe. And that's how enormous, how great, how powerful God is. You know, and so that's why we talk about God being everywhere. God can be there to save us, protect us, even though we may be in different parts of the world. And this imagery is actually taken from Exodus 19, verse 4, where it says, "You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt, how I carry you on eagle's wing and protect you to myself." So it's referring to God's protection of Israel from their enemies, and in this case, it's Satan. And God will help His people in times of affliction. He will use indirect or direct ways to do so. But what we human beings is more interested or more concerned about is protecting ourselves. Not so much anything else but our assets. If you look at today in the Cold War era, even the government is doing the same thing, right? It's the economy. Now there is no war, but they still have the military on the side, but their main concern is the economy. The economy is becoming a battlefield in that sense for them. And sadly, it is with us as Christians as well. The assets. And even the church is concerned about their assets or her assets. Her assets could be the attendance. It could be the building and so forth. The ministry. Rather than the important thing of lost souls. You know, much of what we feel today or what we taste today or what we have today is the result of our philosophy of existence. Capitalism. I'm not saying it's evil, but it has enhanced that evil nature in us to become what we are today. And now it is woven into politics in this Cold War era. And so governments are more concerned about bread and butter issues over the well-being of the people, the morality of its people. And so when the bottom line is threatened, you see what they call QE, quantitative easing, provided for big corporations, even when their leaders fail morally. And even when they lay off employees, just like the song says, right? When you are let go, you feel hopeless and helpless. And so all those bring fear. And so all this causes such reaction, or overreaction sometimes. And this attitude, this mentality, is also found in the church, where we react and overreact by just one small little remark. And God is ignored. And we no longer trust Him in those turbulent times. You know, the 31 days of prayer that the chairman of the board asks us to embark on, it's a good thing. It's a reminder that we need God more than the structure, than the policies, or skillful men who can pastor and preach. We need more than that. We need God Himself in our midst to help us. God's help came in the form of His protection, of this pregnant woman fleeing into the wilderness. And the people who commented on this verse or this word, wilderness, they say, you know, the place is unknown. It's unnamed, unknown. You know, God's way is so different from our ways in times of turbulence. He sent the woman into the wilderness. For us, when we are stressed out, where do we flee to? Hawaii. Right? We are so different from God's way. We flee to the Caribbeans. I know Terry just came back from there, right? Panama, sorry. Okay. That's where we will flee to. Exotic places of rest and holiday. But God led this woman into the wilderness. And God likes to do that. Right, you look at the scriptures, you find that He sent Israel into the wilderness. Why? So that they can learn to depend on Him. But yet, the people, when they are in the wilderness, they complain and complain more than they pray. And the only person who went into the wilderness to pray was Jesus Himself. Right? And because He prayed, He was able to overcome the temptations of Satan. Now, some people suggest that this place, this wilderness, is actually the ancient city of Petra. Because Petra is actually, this city is carved into the rock cliffs of Edom, between the Dead Sea and the Gulf of Araba. So it's a picture of an impenetrable fortress, because you can only enter to that city through a very narrow gorge. It's a very safe place to hide for this woman, to hide from Satan who is hunting her down. And so God knows what's the best place for you to go to in turbulent times. Write back to Him and pray. And then the duration of Israel's hiding and God's protection is a time, times, and half, and a time, and half a time. And this phrase is found in Daniel chapter 7, chapter 12, and it refers to the second half of the 7 years tribulation. And so a time times two plus a half time times three, the time double is with the S is two, So 1 plus 2 plus another half. Okay. And in any case, when God is protecting, God is helping, our enemies cannot hurt us. If God has spread His wings to protect us. You know, Hudson Taylor wrote in his journal, and he says this, he says, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that His children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect He will send three million missionaries to China, but if He did, He would have ample means to sustain them. Depend on Him. God's word done in God's way will never lack God's supply." You know, God can help us as a church, especially in this period we call transition, which Pastor Glenn don't like that word, because we are never in transition, because God is always the one leading. But whatever you, how you look at it, or however you describe it, know that God can help us if we were to trust Him over ourselves, over our own ways and ideas. Know that for a certain, because it is recorded for us in the Bible. The history of how God deals with His people. And secondly, okay, and secondly is God's intervention, 15 to 17. And as mentioned, it can be direct or indirect. When he will do so, especially when we are going through turbulent times. You know, Satan knows where the Jews are hiding. Okay. And Satan is not dumb, Satan is not stupid, but he is unable to harm Israel because God is intervening. You know, he is frustrated by his failure the first time, and now he's given a second chance to attack Israel, and he wants to win, and he don't want to fail again. And so he changes his whole strategy of just attacking God. He goes at God's people continuously. Okay? And this is symbolized by the metaphor of the serpent spewing out water like river from his mouth. And so it's constant. He's constantly trying to do that. And this image is actually from the Old Testament, where flood waters is used to describe Israel's problems and troubles. Okay. And not only that, this imagery also shows us that Satan, together with his followers, his army, will try to flush out Israel, even when they are hiding. Okay. So they you know, it's like, just like using water to flush out something. That's what they are trying to do. So, but God, in His intervention, He opened up the earth and swallowed the river. Because by now, the water that is spilling up becomes a river that the dragon created. And so God intervened in that way. You know, and He will fail to overcome God's work. And God will not fail to protect His people. Because God has the power over the demons, over man, and over nature. Okay, those of us who do not believe in God will consider this as a coincidence or it's just pure luck that this happened, you know, that the earthquake and then the water goes into the ground. But those people who trusted God, they know that it is God's intervention. There's a story about this guy by the name of Roger Sims. And he never forget the day, May 7, where he hitchhiked to get home with a heavy suitcase, feeling very tired after coming back from the war. He was anxious to take off his army uniform once and for all. And so, when a black sleek new Cadillac went by, he was, you know, thought, oh, there goes my ride. Okay. But then, suddenly the car stopped. And he walked towards the car and he saw a young, handsome, well-dressed man in the front seat driving the car. And he thanked the driver for stopping for him. And the driver responded in this way. He says, "Well, you are in luck if you are going to Chicago." And then Roger says, "Oh, not quite that far, but do you live in Chicago?" The man says, "No, I have a business there. My name is Hanover. Hanover, okay, not Hanover." So after a casual talk in the car with this person, Roger, a Christian, felt the compulsion, the tugging of the Holy Spirit in his heart to share the gospel with this man, this successful businessman in his 50s. But he didn't have the courage. He kept putting it off until he realized that it's just 30 minutes more before he reached his destination. And so he told himself, it's now or never. So he cleared his throat and he says, "Mr. Hanover, I would like to talk to you about something very important." And he explained the gospel to him. And then he asked him this question, this important question: "Would you like to receive Christ?" And to his his amazement, the driver pulled his Cadillac to the side and prayed with him to receive Christ into his life. And fast forward 5 years later, and now Roger Sims is married with a 2-year-old boy, and he has a small business of his own. And he was going on a business trip to Chicago. And he found this card that the gentleman gave to him in his suitcase that he had with him 5 years ago. And so he decided to look up this man, Mr. Hanover. And when he went to the office, the receptionist told him that it was impossible for him to see this man. But he can see his wife. And so he was brought before a woman in her 50s who extended a hand and asked him, you knew my husband?" And so Roger told her how her husband gave him a ride 5 years ago when he was hitching a hike home after the war was over. And so the wife asked him, "Can you tell me when that was, that day?" He says, "May 7, 5 years ago, the day I was discharged from the army." "Anything special about the day?" she asked. Roger hesitated because he was, "Should I tell her I shared the gospel with him and he became a Christian?" And so since he came so far, he said to himself, he says, "I might as well." And so he told the wife, he says, I explained the gospel to him, and he pulled over to give his life to Christ that day. Immediately, the woman was sobbing and shaking as he hears that information. And then she came down and she said to him, I had prayed for my husband's salvation for years. I believe God would save him. And so Roger by now was asking, why are you telling me all this? Like this, something happened to him? So he asked, where's your husband? And the wife says, he's dead. And began sobbing again. He was killed in a car crash after he let you off. He never got home. And then, still weeping, she said, through her tears, through her sobbing, I stopped living for God 5 years ago because I thought God had not kept his word. You know, when we don't have enough information, we think God has failed us. Especially when in turbulent times. And the first thing we ask, just like Josh just now alluded to, we hold up that fist and say, why didn't you do something, God? But we didn't know that God is doing something. Because we are so busy questioning and doubting him in those times. And that's why the wilderness is the place to go. You know, God never fails to hear our prayers. He never fails to intervene at the right moment. But we want to have all the right circumstances known to us first before we do anything. Or before we can trust God. And that's not faith. Faith is not knowing what my circumstances is going to be and still trust Him. And so, because of God's intervention, Satan will fail to do what he wants to do, destroy God's people. Not just Israel, but also the church. But the problem is, the church sometimes is guilty of destroying herself because of the lack of faith, because of putting a focus on the wrong thing and begin dividing because of that instead of evangelizing the lost. The church is called to be what? A lampstand here on earth according to John's vision. And she must be faithful to do so, especially when she has limited time before Christ returns. And then, lastly, in verse 17, God's protection. In God's intervention is always, as we see here, to protect His people. And so when the dragon, he failed the second time, he's frustrated. He cannot kill the woman and the child. And so he turned his fury on the rest of the offspring. And some people identify the rest of her offspring as the 144,000, which we know is not the Jews, but the Christians. Others to the tribulation saints. It is best taken to refer to the church at large because they comprise of all the believers. And it's to be so because of the following statement in this verse. those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So it's comprehensive. It includes the church. It includes Israel and it includes the church. Because they talk about the commandments and they talk about the testimony of Jesus. And this would include everyone in those times, in the end times. And this word commandments is frequently used by John in his writings. And is often used in reference to Jesus' command even. Okay. And the testimony of Jesus, that phrase, is talking about the testimony of Jesus teaching his truth. And the persecuted saints are the genuine believers. Okay, they are not just professing to be Christians, but they are truly believers. As they are known, or as we will also know that they are, is because they obey his teachings. So in other words, if you claim to be a believer, you not only profess faith, but you must obey Christ and his teaching that is given to us. You cannot believe and not obey him and his word. And that's why Satan is always attacking us in this area to disobey him and sin. But he will not succeed. All his efforts to stop Christ from setting up his kingdom and taking back what is his will fail. And Jesus will triumph. And the promise is that those who keep God's command and hold fast their testimony, they will be protected by him. Isn't this encouraging? You know, that Satan, whatever he does, no matter how great and harmful, he will not succeed. So the question is, will we trust the Lion of Judah, or will we be afraid of that roaring lion? No, both are lion, okay? But that one is capital L Lion of Judah. The other one is a small L Lion with no teeth. Okay. Who do you want to trust more? And Satan will try to deceive and divert our attention from obeying him, our God. And sometimes he's successful. And take us to, to be concerned with less important things, the minor things, over the more important things. Particularly in this case, the loss. And the other thing that we need to, as a side note or as a disclaimer, is that, you know, trusting and obeying God does not guarantee the result we want sometimes. But it does reveal whether we are true believer or merely a professing one. Because our steadfastness in faith will become a blessing. A blessing to those who are around us, to encourage them, and also for the unbelievers around us to think whether there is something true and real about this God, the Christian worship. And hopefully, they come to him. You know, in turbulent times, life need not be hopeless or helpless if God is on our side. If God is our helper, he's our intervener, he's our protector, and we are sincerely doing his will and obeying his word, know that God knows what is best and how to protect you. And also know that it can help others or attract them to desire what you have and come to faith in Jesus Christ. Then they can join us as a family under God to exhort Him, to be equipped to serve Him and to evangelize the lost. There's a circle of transformation taking place in all these three things. There's a circle of discipleship going on in these three things. It's not linear as we often think it is. It is circular. It's a cycle. And once you make it linear, you just sit there and enjoy the ride. But once you see it as circular, you will want to make sure that you don't get out of place or get, you know, if you go on a merry-go-round, if you don't hold tight, you can be swung out of that pendulum, right? Or that circulation motion. And so if you are in that circle, that's why you need to hold tight, even in turbulent times. And that's my challenge to every one of us here. Whatever turbulent times you are going, big or small, it always tests your faith. It also causes you either to let go or let God. It causes you to let go and be swung out of that pendulum or that circle if you are not careful. And so God, help us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that God, you are our helper, our intervener, and our protector. May we be found to depend wholly and solely on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.